164 at the bottom. Four lines in the bottom of the page. The Alter Rebbe is explaining that the ultimate purpose of creation, because God wanted a dwelling place down here. The Alter Rebbe explained, what does it mean in a low place? If God is all over, how do you have higher and lower? So we learned, higher and lower does not mean distance-wise. It means how much godliness is revealed. Right? A place where more godliness is revealed is called higher. A place where less godliness is revealed is called lower. And he said, he started explaining that this world is a world that is so low that it gets to a point you don't even realize that there's any godliness in the world. In fact, it can even be in a way that a person says there is no God. That's what's called the ultimate low level of that level. So he says now like this, V'initachlis ishtaush l'so'ilimus, the ultimate purpose of the chain of the worlds. V'ridosa mi'madrega l'madrega, and the descent from one level to the next, Eina bishvil elimus elyonim, is not for the higher spiritual realms. Hayo v'lehem yirida me'aponav yizbarich, because that's only a descent from godliness. Even the higher worlds, where more godliness is revealed. Okay, you know what? I'm going to take a few minutes and explain something basic. God, believe it or not, is all over. In case you didn't know. Now, what's the difference why we say God reveals himself more in certain worlds, less in certain worlds, and less until this world? It means like this. You have to picture a physical light, because that's the only analogy that we can give for this. You have a light, okay? You cover it once, you get less light. Cover it again, less light. Cover it again, less. It keeps getting less and less and less. It gets to a point, you can put a thick cover over it, you don't even see that there's a light there to begin with. Now, that change is not for the light bulb. As far as the light bulb is concerned, there's no difference if it has one covering, 10 coverings, 100 coverings, or a million coverings. The light bulb is the same. Like we learned last week, if I hide behind the curtain, I'm not hidden from myself. I'm only hidden from you. For myself, I'm not hidden. Right? God is all over. The difference between the worlds is how many coverings God conceals himself with. So let's say the highest world, Atzilus, is a world that has a very sheer covering, so to speak. So there's a revelation of godliness there. The next world has another covering, another covering. So he says like this, the purpose of creation cannot be for the higher worlds. Because even the higher worlds, really, is God lowering himself to cover himself. Because if God reveals himself as is, i.e., in the infinite state of God, there can be no world. There's only infinite, right? If you reveal infinite, you can't have a finite world. So even the highest worlds, as great as they are, is still a world. It's still a limitation. So that is a descent for God. The only place where God's essence is revealed is this world. And therefore, he says like this, I'm going to explain this as we go on. He says like this, it can't be bishvil elam esalyanim, it can't be for the higher spiritual worlds, hoyel v'lehem yerida me'arpon of yizbarich, because they are descent. It is a covering of godliness. What is the purpose? Tachlis hu elam hazeh atachten, this ultimate purpose of creation, believe it or not, is not for the world where the angels live. By the way, I don't mean the California angels. I mean the Malachim. Where the angels live, it's only for this world. Why? Shekach olor b'tzayne yizbarich, because this is what entered God's will. Lies nachas ruach lefanev yizbarich, that God should have an enjoyment. Kadis kafya sitrach, when evil is broken. V'ishapcha chashecha l'nehera, and darkness is transformed to light. Meaning, sheyored er Hashem ein tzav baruch hu, that it should be illuminated and revealed the revelation of God, b'makom acheshev hasiter achro, in the place of darkness and evil, of this world. I don't remember if I mentioned this 2 weeks ago when we were learning, if not, I was in a different class. People like new things. You know, old things are boring. Correct? People like new things. People go for entertainment because it's new. Okay, people go out to eat because, trust me, the food in the house is better than the restaurants, as a rule. You go out because it's a change, it's a change of scenery. People go on vacation, yeah? Trust me, it's more comfortable in your home, especially if you're taking kids, than going on vacation. What's unique about a vacation? It's a change, it's something new, it's the change. Okay? Or as Siddhas give the famous analogy of it, of a parrot. You mentioned this not long ago. People pay a lot of money for a bird called a parakeet. Yeah? Why? Because it's a bird that talks. If you think about it, people talk much better than a parrot. When people talk, you say, be quiet. When the parrot talks, everybody, shh, you have to hear the parrot. Yeah? Or when a baby takes their first step and plops on the ground, the emails start flying, the phone calls start flying to the in-laws and to the outlaws. You know what happens? A miracle happened. The baby took the first step. You know, adults walk much better. They don't fall down after the first step. What is unique about a parrot that people pay money to hear it when people talk much better? So the answer is very simple. For people to talk, that's normal. It's not anything new. When adults walk, that's normal. When a baby who didn't walk takes the first step, it's something new. Something new is exciting. Okay? Hashem, for whatever reason, not that he's forced to do this, Hashem says, you know what my ultimate enjoyment is? When there's something new. To give I paraphrase this. As far as Hashem is concerned, when a tzaddik does a mitzvah, Hashem's not very excited. After all, he's a tzaddik. Okay? When a wicked person does a mitzvah, that's much greater satisfaction to Hashem than when a tzaddik does it. Why? A tzaddik does it, that's expected from them. So when a tzaddik puts on tefillin, like when the Rebbe came out with the tefillin campaign, the Rebbe quoted a smack. The smack says that Hashem has more enjoyment when a total wicked Russia puts on tefillin more than when a tzaddik puts on tefillin. What's the logic? Very simple. From a tzaddik it's expected. Okay? That the higher spiritual realms feel godliness, it's no big shake. That's expected, it's normal. When darkness becomes light, when evil becomes good, okay, that is a new thing that Hashem likes. And in fact, the Rambam really says this also. The Rambam says, you know why God likes a Baal Tshuva better than a Tzaddik? Because a Baal Tshuva transformed himself from sin to mitzvah. It's a brand new thing. It's exciting because it's new. And in fact, the Alter Rebbe says later in Tanya that the reason why Hashem sends down a neshama from Gan Eden, basking in godliness, into a body, an animal soul, an evil inclination and everything. Why does Hashem do it? Because that a neshama in Gan Eden is basking in godliness. Okay, what else is new? When a neshama comes down into a body that conceals godliness and covers it and gets in the way and distracts the person from godliness, and over there a person does a mitzvah, that is enjoyment by Hashem. And that's why Hashem did it. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here that you can't say the purpose of creation is for the higher spiritual realms, because that's a revelation of godliness in an unconcealed form, big deal. The ultimate purpose of creation of everything is to have a world dark, evil, cold, dreary, and over there for a Jew to bring light into the world That's a much greater accomplishment. And that's why Chassidus explains, by the way, you have to find the good in everything. The good of Golus, the good of exile, is that when we do mitzvahs in the time of the temple, okay, big deal, you saw godliness, everything was holy and roly, you know, so you did a mitzvah, big deal. When a Jew does a mitzvah in the time of Golus, when it's hard to do a mitzvah, and we're not interested in doing mitzvahs, and we do it anyway, that's a much greater level. What? One second, just to paraphrase what we mentioned, I think, 2 weeks ago, that when a Kennedy becomes a president, it's not the same accomplishment as somebody who's brought up as a farmer somewhere in Yukonsville and becomes a president of the United States. Right? When Abe Lincoln became president, it was a bigger thing because his son of a poor or whatever it was, and he became the president of a self-made man. That's worth much more than a Kennedy or a Rockefeller that became president. What?
So when you said before about, like, if the moon can't be seen, and Kishon said, so what does Hashem get out of that?
Hashem gets out of it that we feel bad that we can't do it.
He wants us to cry.
Yeah, he wants.
Wouldn't he rather just have the Kishon run and be done?
Obviously not, because then he would have done it that way.
So why does he say do it then? People feel bad. It's
like,
isn't it better to feel good and do
mitzvahs
and feel good about it?
You ever play hide and go seek?
All the time. Hide and go seek with kids.
Yeah? Why do you have to hide? If the goals are going to find you, just stay found. Stay found. No, why is the game? Think about it. Because the seeking is what's most important.
Should those people at that moment, like if you were there or somebody, you know, would it be recommended that they learn about it? Like, what are they supposed to do at that time? Whenever that happens, if you physically cannot do a mitzvah, what should you be doing at that time? Learning about that mitzvah or?
Sometimes learning about the mitzvah. No.
I mean,
not go to sleep.
Right, exactly. That's what you're saying.
So the Gemara says, if you learn about the laws of a mitzvah, it's considered as if you brought it. I'm saying, if you have the ability to learn, yeah.
Right, so they had, okay, it was cloudy, they weren't in a jail, so they should have learned about it.
They did, but Hashem wants the Jew not to have an attitude, okay, a guy, I can't do it, I'm not doing it, you know, going to sleep and no problem. Hashem wants the attitude. So Hashem a lot of time wants, and that's why Hashem makes us in a predicament of darkness, not to be able to say, okay, I'm in darkness, and God put me in exile, and I have an animal soul, and so therefore, I'm off the hook. Hashem says, no, I want you to feel bad and do whatever you can to show me that you really want the mitzvah. And you know what? That, in a certain respect, it says in Chassidus, is even greater than the opportunity of doing the mitzvah.
Because
the longing is greater when you don't have it.
That's the chalom
life. Right. So here, we're talking about belonging. What does a mitzvah mean? Connection. Mitzvah means connection. Sometimes, what does it say? Abstinence makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm-hmm. Absence.
Correct. Absence. Makes the heart grow fonder. That yearning is something stronger in the relationship than if you have it. And that's what Hashem sometimes wants. Hashem gives a variety. Okay? Sometimes you could do a mitzvah, but you don't necessarily have the attitude, if I don't do it, I'm going to feel terrible about it. Remember we said this is, I mentioned this, I didn't mention it for a while, but I was once giving a class. This is remarkable. I was giving a class with four guys who were in the room. Modern Orthodox, Shomer Shabbos, kosher, you know, typical modern Orthodox from. One guy piped up with a brilliant question. He said to the other guys, let me ask you a question. What would you do if you found out today that you're a goy? Found out today you're not Jewish. What would you do? All of them, I was shocked. All of them, besides me, because I'm paid. not because I'm paid to say different. They said, you know what? We would be very happy. We wouldn't have to do all this stuff. That's what they said. We wouldn't have to do all of this. And I looked at them, and like, yeah, it's sad. I said, like, I once had a woman call me from out of town a few years ago, crying hysterically on the phone. I said, what's wrong? I didn't know who the lady was. She says, I just found out my mother's mother wasn't Jewish. And she was crying her head off. It's not only... It's the attitude of a term it's a sar. Do we want it, or is it a burden? Sometimes Hashem wants us to not only do the mitzvah. Most of the time, Hashem wants us to do the mitzvah. Okay? What do you think? Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have sacrifice, we don't have that. You don't think God wants us to feel bad?
Aren't we doing
or we're going to say that, you know, thank God I don't have to schlep a carbon from California to Israel. Yeah, a plane ticket for my animal. Send it in cargo with the dog things. 1 second. So, a person needs to understand, this is what Hashem wants sometimes, that in a world where godliness is not felt, Hashem wants us to do one of two things. Either bring a light into the world by doing the mitzvah, or if Hashem puts us in a situation where that cannot be, whatever reason Hashem says, right? That's what his business is. Now, what does Hashem want from us? Hashem wants from us that we really want to do mitzvahs, and we don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. The Rebbe once said, you know, the famous thing when this old lady went over to the Rebbe by dollars, and she said, the Rebbe was in his 90s, or 90, and this old lady went to the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, isn't it very hard for you standing on your feet for so many hours giving out dollars? So the Rebbe answered her, when you count diamonds, you don't get tired. Okay? If you look at mitzvahs as a burden, you know, picture a guy is schlepping a load of stones, okay? And somebody says, come, let me give you more. You're going to tell him, you know, go somewhere. If you're carrying diamonds that you can keep, and somebody says, you want me to pile on more, so you're going to say, please, Vakasha, the more the merrier. Okay? That is the attitude. That's, by the way, that defines if a Jew is religious or not. I always say there's two things that really define if a Jew is really religious or not. Number one, do they want it, or is it a burden? Number one. Or number two, the next test of a religious Jew is, if you would be stranded in an island all by yourself, with no way of anybody seeing you, would you still do the mitzvahs the same way? Those two things, what?
Aren't we doing other mitzvahs, such as judge on one particular mitzvah when you say...
You talk about all mitzvahs.
No, did you say, what did you answer?
All mitzvahs.
No, I'm saying if you, let's say, are tentative about one mitzvah, but in the meanwhile you're doing so much better in another mitzvah, so what is the focus on?
That's also no good. Because if we do mitzvahs because Hashem wants us to do mitzvahs, then there's no difference between mitzvah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 15. That's why we have to do more, because
right.
God said so.
Yeah, so what if we're doing a lot?
That was last week's Pirkei Avos. But, I mentioned this also last time. There is in Hebrew called, in Israel, there's a type of Jew called Masorati. Traditional. Notice, it means traditional Jew. Traditional Jews, by definition, means they pick and choose the mitzvahs they like. Okay? This mitzvah I like, I do it. This mitzvah I don't like, I don't do it. Correct? That religion, that type of religion, has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. Because if you do mitzvahs, if you do mitzvahs because God said to do a mitzvah, what's the difference if you like it or not? In other words, if I'm doing mitzvahs that I like, it's nothing to do with God. God maybe had came up with a good idea. You know, eat matzah and Pesach. That's not a bad idea. I like the idea. You know, it's family oriented. Sit at a Seder for one day. Or Hanukkah, like you get presents, you know. Whatever. So then, it has nothing to do with God. I'm not saying they know or don't know. I'm just saying the concept of people, even religious people. This mitzvah I like, I'm going
to
do with enthusiasm.
Like
this mitzvah I don't like, okay, I got to do it, but I'll do it to get it off my back. Okay? That attitude is not necessarily a very constructive attitude of Yiddishkeit.
Have to grow intimate.
The ultimate goal, and remember when the guy came to the Tzemach Tzedek and said, Rebbe, I have a problem, I don't want to learn. And the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, I have a bigger problem than you, I do want to learn. What the Tzemach Tzedek basically is telling him, if I enjoy learning, when I learn, I don't get the same reward or the same closeness with God that you get when you don't want to learn, and you're going to learn anyway. Why is that? Because he is breaking his nature. The person that doesn't want to do the mitzvah breaks their nature, he says breaks evil, and transforms the evil to Kedusha, is much greater than a person that wants to do the mitzvah and enjoys doing the mitzvah. The ultimate goal that Rebbe is explaining over here is to take a world which is empty and void from any light, meaning full of darkness, and to transform that world to Kedusha, that is the ultimate level. And Alter Rebbe is going to quote now soon the Pasuk Yisro Ermin Acheshech. Shlomo HaMelech was a brilliant man. Okay? He didn't say simple, stupid statements. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ra'isi listen to the brilliance of a brilliant man. I see there's an advantage of wisdom over stupidity, like the advantage of light over dark. Shkoyach. I need Shlomo HaMelech to tell me that brilliance is better than stupidity and light is better than dark. I need Shlomo HaMelech to tell me that. Without Shlomo HaMelech, I wouldn't know it. But that, if you look in the passage, that's not what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Shlomo HaMelech is not saying, I see there's an advantage of Chochma al HaSichlis. He is in the earth al HaChoshech. He didn't say that. Shlomo HaMelech says, Yisrin l'Chochma min HaSichlis. From stupidity. Like the advantage of light from dark. The passage doesn't say over dark. Over stupidity. Shlomo HaMelech is saying a very brilliant, profound statement. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Yisrin Ha'erd, not the advantage of light over dark. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Yisrin Ha'erd, the greatest light is when darkness is transformed to light. He's not saying light is better than dark. That's the, even in Hebrew, that's not what the that's what is translated in the English in translations, but that's not what Shlomo HaMelech says, the Zohar says. The Zohar says, Shlomo HaMelech saying, there's a yis in the earth, the greatest level of light is min ha-cheshech, when it comes from darkness. When darkness is transformed to light, when stupidity is transformed to brilliance, that's the ultimate level. Why? Why? And here comes the Chassidus punchline. Because to connect two opposites, you need to go above both. When you connect dark and light, you make darkness into light, you are revealing a level which is above light and above dark, and therefore can connect the two together.
You have to grow into this. You were born into this world in a different way than many of us, and you have no idea. Only God knows whether that mitzvah is one you're...
Every person got to do what they got to do.
You have to grow into it. That's what I think.
Okay.
And we have more people.
But, so that's what the Alter Rebbe is saying over here. The ultimate purpose, he says, at the end of the last page, Nachas Ruach Lefanev Yisbarach, Kadiskaf Yisitrach, when, top line of Memvav, when evil is broken, and darkness is transformed to light, sheyoyer er Hashem eintzav baruch hu, that the power of the light of Hashem should illuminate b'mokim hacheshech, in the place of darkness, ba'asitir achar, and the evil shall call elam azeh kulei, in this world. The Yasser says, the Yasser Oz, far greater than before. And he says, the Yisin Er Min HaChesech, there's an advantage of light that comes from the darkness, more than Ha'arasi Ba'elam HaSayyanim, than the revelation in the higher spiritual worlds, where godliness is revealed, where there is light. In other words, you can't say the ultimate purpose of creation is for the revelation of godliness in the higher worlds. Because any revelation of godliness in the higher worlds is a limited form, the way it's revealed. When God created this world, dafke in a world of darkness, dafke in a world of evil, dafke in a world where it's difficult to do Torah mitzvah, and we do it, there becomes this massive transformation of evil into kedusha, and that's what God wants. Because it's something new. It's something exciting. So, it's, by the way, it's remarkable because we see the power that we have. The power that a Jew has is they can take darkness and make darkness into light.
But until Mashiach comes, there's always going to be evil. It's never going to be totally subdued. And there'll be new evil on the horizon. You subdue this evil, another one comes. So when,
that's
so,
right, she's right.
So when's it going to be enough for Hashem already?
You know what a trust fund is?
Yes.
Okay. When a person puts money in the bank, but it's not touched, it's not touchable until a certain age, correct? There's an expression in Chassidus that when a Jew does a mitzvah today, we don't see what we accomplished. We don't see the light that we revealed into the world, okay? But it's munach bekufsa, that's the expression of Chassidus, it's in the box. The money is in the bank. We keep adding money to the bank. Mashiach comes, the account is going to be open, and everybody's going to see all the accomplishments of what we did during the time of Golus. So that's, it's not, don't see the things are not happening now. Things are happening now.
No, I'm not saying it's not.
But let me explain. This, we live in a life, Hashem has a very interesting sense of humor.
Okay, if you want to look at it like that.
He has a very, very unique sense of humor that we don't understand. First graders have challenges, correct? Then when you get to second grade, the challenges are greater. Third grade, they're greater, right? In life, even teenagers, those of you, those of us that merited and merit to have them, they will try to convince you that the challenges they have with midterms and finals, you have no parents, you have no comprehension of the difficulties
never
in tests in life, that you guys have no understanding of what it's all about. Okay? Then they get older, and they finish school, and they get into the real world. They see, you know something? The challenges attack are worse than the, bigger than what we had when we were in school, right? A person has a challenge, they pass it. God said, now it's time for second grade. Challenges, like you have these games. You have the game, you're level one, level two, level three, yeah?
Yeah, but you're speaking on an individual level. When you look at the today's world as a whole, over generations and generations and generations, I mean, how much already more? I mean, how much already more can be done? How much more does Hashem want? When's it going to be enough?
When Mashiach comes.
Okay.
But why do you have to look at collectively? We have to look at it as individuals, too.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but it's the same as Hashem is coming back.
But
over
you
again.
Can't say that because God gave me a test and I passed the test, I go on vacation.
Okay, I'm not talking about me.
I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
He's talking about you.
Okay, I'm not, you don't...
Nothing. The bottom line is, in life, we need to constantly grow. We grow through challenges. Okay? You know how water gets filtered?
I think you're being mustic, Hashem.
Water gets filtered when you have a blockage. What do you think a filter is? It's a blockage. When you have a blockage, that's what a filter is all about. it blocks the water, and the water that goes through the filter, pushes through, is pure. Okay? Challenges purify a person. But you get purified once. Hashem said, okay, now you're pure. Let's make you purer. Purest, whatever. Yeah? That's what life's all about. So if you look at it that way, by the way, it's much easier to get through the challenges. Because you understand, why is Hashem giving me the challenges? Because that's the only way I'll reach a level that I wouldn't be able to reach if I didn't have the challenges. Now, every day in davening, it's getting late, overtime already. Every day in davening, we say to Hashem, don't give me challenges. Okay, we don't want them. But when God gives it to us, we can do it.